Let's chat with a couple more of our form analysts, learn about them and learn how they do their form. Gary Cleese is first up on our show this morning. Morning to you, Gary.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed. Now, many people will probably think Cleese and think that you've been in the racing game all your life and, you know, your mum and dad were involved, but they were involved, in fact, in a horse stud.
Yeah, now you're dead on. We lived at Caboolture and we lived in town and we always had pony club horses and Dad had a bulldozing contract. He had about 9 bulldozers at the time and Mum was fortunate enough to win the Golden Casket, which was worth $100,000. In them days, so it was an awful lot of money, and that enabled us to go out and buy a big property and set up a horse stud, and Dad kept the bulldozing contract going, and at that time, I think we had about 4 stallions on the property. Dad was the first guy to import an Appaloosa to Australia, and we had 2 Appaloosas that come over from America, and we had a 4 horse come over from America, and we had a thoroughbred Stuva Mundi stood there for a long time, so... Yeah, it was hard work as a young kid growing up. We were out of bed early and Dad had the bulldozers and Mum and I would get out and get the mares into the serving barns. And, that's how it all began with horses. But we always had pony club horses and we're always involved around horses, Andrew.
I'm going to go through your life pretty quick here. The main purpose is really to talk about your form. But just for people that may not know, you were with Bruce McLaughlin there for a fair while, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, well, actually, I applied to leave school at 14. I was probably one that never went to school a lot because I was on the property. Mm. But and the education department knocked me back, and 2 months later, they approved it. And four months later, at 14 and a half, I left home to go to Bruce McLaughlin Stables because he was headhunting me for a while because I was riding around the shows and... had my first ride for Bruce at 15 and a half. Actually, my first ride in a race at 15 and a half at the Gold Coast, and it was transferred to the Sand Track, and I rode a mare called Dancing Years, and she won by 17 and three quarter lengths, so it was a pretty easy win.
Fair dinkum. First win, 17 and three quarters. Did you know you were that far in front as a young boy?
It was a 2,000-metre race. It was down the bottom of the straight, and like I said, it was... Actually, I had 2 rides that day, and the other mare would have won Bimba. She went on to win in Sydney. Peter Cook won on her, and she was a maidener, and I was riding to work, and Bruce scratched her that day because of the wet, and she went to win a novice. But look, honestly, Dancing Years was just... she was a runner, and she hit the ground. She led and tracked along, and Bruce said to me, when you get out on the back, don't look around, just keep her going, and she won by 17 three-quarter lengths. Still got the photo.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So... In your family, with your mum and dad, there was you, then Raymond and Graham, who continues to ride. Now, you've still got your sons who are certainly well involved. Brad, who's a deputy steward there, chief steward in the Northern Rivers. Your wife, Jenny's obviously involved through you because if you do form at home, everyone comes into it. So you're certainly still involved and you've got another son who's a full-time plumber.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I've got two boys, and Jenny and I have been married, well, it'll be 35 years in the 25th of July, so she wants a gold medal for putting up with me. But, two boys, Brad, before he became a steward, he went to Washpool to break in. Kerry and Letitia wanted him to go up there and break in, and he was the guy that broke in buffering.
Yeah.
And he educated buffering.
Gee.
Before buffering went to Heathcote Stables for Washpool, and he spent 18 months up there breaking in. And then he applied for the job with Racing New South Wales, and he went under the care of Ray Murray for 12 months, and then he was posted out at Tamworth. And he's been here for nearly 2.5 years on the Northern Rivers as Deputy Chief Steward. So very proud of him. He's a good boy, and I don't really get involved in his work. His work's his work, and my work's my work.
Yep.
And my other boy's a plumber, so they're two different boys, but they were both very, very good riders in their own right, but they would have never made jockeys, mate.
No, I've got two boys, and I think my two boys are the same as yours. There's one that's quiet, and there's one that's just directly opposite that causes us all sorts of hassles, but I think that often I hear that story. Mate, just on your doing your form, I think you're doing form today for Coffs Harbour. What are the key points you look for?
Oh, look, Andrew, as soon as the nom come out, I go through them. I don't get any detail with nominations. I just flick through to see what's actually in. But once the form does come out, I first scrap up with gear changes. I do every gear change on every runner, in every race. Stewards reports, I'm not over the stewards report. Doesn't matter where they finished in running, whatever they figure in the stewards report, I write in. Then I do a replay on every runner. That's within reason. If I'm seeing horses that are getting beaten a long way, there's probably no real sense getting into detail with them. And then I go back and have a look at the track and the distance, good tracks, soft tracks, where they can get from the gate. And particularly with me, Andrew, I'm working at 15 different racetracks.
Mm.
So I'm seeing big tracks like Grafton and the Coffs Harbour. I'm seeing the smaller tracks like the Ballinas and the Moranbahs and the little bit tighter tracks like Tower East got a fair run down the back, Port Macquarie, and then you'll go to the Casino track, which is uphill, downhill, Armidale, which is uphill, downhill. So now a lot goes into it, and a lot works when horses, you're looking at him and saying, well, that, you know, and I've seen it many, many times that horses don't handle the tight circuits and they go to the bigger track. So you take that all into line, and then you have a work that out, and hopefully you've got it right. But I can tell you now, it can change by the time you get to the races. So, because I'm one that loves to look at them in the mounting yard. I'm like a Ron Duffercy. I idolise Ron Duffercy. I think he does an outstanding job, and he says it how it is, and I say it how it is too. If something to me doesn't look quite right, that's my job, and that's the way I focus on it. Little horse caught Intrepid the other day. He nowhere in the mix here at Ballina, but he looked outstanding in the yard from Toby Edmonds' yard, and I had to put him on top, and he ended up getting the money. But that's our job, and it takes a lot. And Andrew, being truthful, I've seen horses walk in the mounting yard, sweat up, and don't perform. They come back next preparation, they're an entirely different horse. They're a lot more settled, and yeah, a lot goes into it, and at the end of the day, hopefully you've got it right.
Gary, good to have you on our show. We'll hear from you over the next few days on the radio.
Good on you.
Gary. Gary Cleese joining us there, running through his key points. And Dean Lester's online. Dino, good morning.
Morning, Andrew.
Don't know whether you, how long have you been sitting there listening?
Oh, I've been listening intently for a while. That was very interesting about Gary.
Okay. Were you listening earlier to Simon Miller?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. So I'm going to put it on you then.
Mm-hmm.
What's Whispering Brook?
Where's she going?
Yeah, well, Simon said our good friend Dino's mapping out the plans.
Well, yeah, she's very good. She will kick off, I think, all being well, on about the 23rd of August at Moonee Valley, and then into another race at the Valley, and then the Guineas Prelude, and all being well, 1,000 guineas, I suppose. But we'll just see how she goes in the first couple of runs and take it from there.
So in watching her, I guess this is a point of what we're talking about. You've watched all of her runs, and I know Simon's a really good friend of yours.
Yep.
What makes her then pretty good to come to Melbourne?
Oh, her figures, her speed figures are terrific. When she won the Karrakatta, it was comparable with the older horses on the day, and then when she won the size produce, she ran quicker than the older horses on the day, which included horses like Magnificio. Now, they were differently run races that day, but, gee, it's a good starting point when you compete with the time-wise with the older horses. And she's got a great relaxed manner about her. She's got a terrific turn of foot. I would think that looking at the fillies that we had here as two-year-olds, now there'll be another group come through, early three-year-olds, I think she'll measure up pretty well.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing her in August, Whispering Brook. Dean, we hear you on the radio through the week with us and on Saturdays from the races. You obviously do all your form like all of the experts, but how important do you, just following up on what Gary says, in your eye, how they look in the mounting yard on race day?
Oh, it's really important to get that across to the listeners in the last few minutes. Because I tip in the morning or, you know, and through Melbourne and Sydney radio, I tend not to change my tips, but if I see one that's within my tips I don't think looks well as it can, I'll mention that. Yeah. Or if there's one outside of my tips that looks really well, I'll mention that. But I think it would be frustrating for the listeners, for me, at 20 past 9 with you to say this will win, and then at 2 o'clock say this will win.
Yeah,
I don't tend to change, Andrew, but I do like to highlight things from the yard, and it's crucial. I mean, you can do all the work you like, and you can be so deflated when they come into the mounting yard.
And I guess it can work the other way, where you might not have been keen on something, and then it walks into the yard and looks spectacular into your eye.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then the perfect storm is when you really like one, and they come in and they look the best. Then you double up.
Yes. Hopefully that works more often than not. What are the key points when you're, say, let's just say the fields come out? I know you're probably looking at, I'm working towards a Saturday meeting.
Yeah.
So Monday the noms come out. Do you start looking at them Monday or not?
I'll have a quick scan of, you have races in your head that you think, oh, that horse will be heading that way, and you just want to see if they've been nominated. But I don't, because we've got 3 nominations down here, and they just...
It's too many.
They throw them in everything.
So your big day's Wednesday.
Wednesday's my main day. The fields come out. The first thing I do is I get the fields, put them into... I've got a program that I've developed that puts the horses into barrier draw order, and from there we start with the speed maps, the gear changes, as Gary mentioned, and first of all get a race structure, and let's see where they all sit in place, and then redo the videos, look at significant weight changes, rider changes. The one thing I like to look at is look at a horse and say, is this the race that it's been set for? Is this grand final day? Is this the one that the trainer's been working towards, or is this just a stepping stone, or is this an afterthought? And try and see if they're going to be, in the absolute best of their form. And that's something that, I think, that's very subjective, but it's something that I like to try and do.
And do you get a feel on a trainer?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. I said with you on Saturday morning, the first winner, RTD2, when Darren Weir wins a race with a debutant, they'll just improve. They're never really screwed down to win first start. So if you see one of his horses win first up, you know that they're going to be a lot better second up. Usually his horses are peaking fourth and fifth run in. So, that they're the sort of idiosyncrasies you look for. You've got certain ones in your mind. You're wary of a trainer like Mick Kent. They can not have raced for 18 months and they'll be in a 2,000-metre race, but you're wary of them because they're the sort of things he likes to do.
The announcements, I mean, a lot of information goes out to the punter, and then I guess it's up to them how they relate, whether they want to listen to it or not, as in tactic changes. How important have they become to you?
I would say that 80% of the tactics changes I can predict, because you see a horse up in distance. And I think it's really important because not everyone has the time and the luxury that I have to do the form and understand what's going on. So for the announcements to come through, most of them I go, yep, that's in keeping with what I thought, that's in keeping. Mm. There was one on Saturday, the race that Shocker Mole won. There was just no leader in the race, with the exception maybe of a horse called Serity. And the blinkers have been taken off Serity, so you're a little bit wary that whether he'd lead or not. And then they made the announcement they're going to ride him back. Well, he was a long shot anyway, but he went from a long shot to absolutely no chance. So they're the ones I like to take a lot of notice of. And when a horse has been just because you can sort of visualise if they've been drawing wide and they go back and then they draw a good barrier, you nearly can see that the trainer's going to take advantage of that good draw. So they're the ones that are probably self-explanatory, but there's a few that you'd certainly prick the ears up at.
Mm. Is there one key point that you can tell our listeners that you really focus in on? Is something that they could maybe learn from you?
I think race structure. I think
the speed maps.
Speed maps and just where horses are going to be. I mean, it's all very well to say A, B, C have all got speed, but how then the riders? Mm. Who's got the most intent? Who's going to do what? And the thing is, especially in evenly graded races, not a good horse will overcome a wide draw, cover ground, and win. But these evenly graded, say 78 grade races on a Saturday, where there's probably 3 lengths in ability between 10 horses, the positioning in running's everything. So the one that gets that flowing run into the race will be the one that just has that enough on the day to win. So I put a lot into making sure that the one that I tip, I envisage getting a pretty good run, especially in those very evenly graded races.
Understand. Hey, good to have you on, mate. I think Mark's on later. Mark Hunter will be looking at Bendigo today for us, and we'll have you tomorrow and into the weekend. We look forward to it. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Dean Lester there. A few more of our form analysts. John Scorse is going to join us next Thursday, one of them. So we look forward to having a chat with John.